whatever load you carry, whatever burden you bear, rest assured that you are not alone. God is here to help shoulder the load. So yoke yourself to God. Rest your bones in God. Is there any load Christ has not already borne? Is there any sense in trying to carry the thing yourself?
That's the Reverend Bonnie Scott, and today she brings you a challenging message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. Today we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Bonnie Scott, the 2011 recipient of the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award, given by Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York, New York. For the past year or so, Bonnie has been the associate pastor of Wesley Freedom United Methodist Church in Eldersburg, Maryland. She majored in religion and history at Dickinson College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and earned her Master of Divinity degree last year from Duke Divinity School in Durham, North Carolina. Bonnie, welcome to Day One and congratulations.
Thank you for having me.
I understand you are the first United Methodist woman to receive the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award, which is granted by Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. And they have enabled us to present several award recipients on Day One in recent years. But how would you describe the purpose of the award and why do you think they picked you?
I think the purpose of the award is to promote excellent preaching. I know when I heard about the award, I was really pushed and motivated to preach as well as I could in as many places as I could.
And the scholar part of it, that requires study.
That's right. I had to submit two exegesis papers with my application to show that the sermons I was preaching were well-grounded in study.
Mm-hmm. Now, David H.C. Reed himself was an internationally renowned preacher, scholar, and author. I'm curious if you've learned anything about him that has had an impact on your ministry.
Some of my parishioners can recount stories of actually going to hear him preach. They said he had an incredible voice, an incredible presence, and I certainly one day aspire to preach as he did.
You were also awarded the Jameson Jones Preaching Award at Duke University. And about a year ago, you preached at Madison Avenue Presbyterian in acknowledgement of this award, which is quite the historic pulpit. What was that experience like?
It's an honor to preach anywhere people will show up to hear the gospel proclaimed.
How do you envision preaching influencing the culture today?
I believe that when we preach, we are speaking the truth. And so much of the culture today is lies. Everywhere you look, lies and mistruths. And so I think the pulpit is a real place to speak what is true and what is real and what is honest.
And there's still a place for that spoken presentation, proclamation of the word, isn't there?
Absolutely. The word is powerful. In the beginning of John, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That embodied word is Jesus Christ. And I think we get a piece of that in the pulpit.
Now, you've been serving as associate pastor of Wesley Freedom United Methodist Church outside of Baltimore for over a year now. What are you up to there?
Well, preaching, among other things, but preaching to a group of people who are now my family, my community. It's a joy to preach specifically to them, knowing what their joys and struggles are.
And you were very active in church growing up, and I understand you sensed God's call to the ministry even as a teenager. Tell us how you experienced that.
I experienced my call to ministry mostly through this sort of deep and intimate prayer life I had. I could tell you all about the Holy Spirit when I was 14 or 15 years old, and I loved being in the church. And I thought, how can I do church full-time? And was told, well, you could be a pastor. So some foolish people gave me the opportunity to preach when I was 14 or 15 years old, and I've loved it ever since.
Well, your sermon today focuses on a reading from the Hebrew Scriptures from the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Set the stage for us. Where are we in the story of the Exodus?
We are in the wilderness, which is actually the Hebrew name for the book of Numbers. It's called In the Wilderness. We've been on the journey for a little while, and the people of Israel are starting to complain. They are grumbling. They are getting tired of this journey.
Would you read the passage for us?
Sure. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a sucking child, to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors'? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place with you there." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord, Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them."
Bonnie, your sermon is entitled Deliverance and Deli Meat. Thank you for being with us.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Moses slams his letter of resignation on the desk and hands over the keys to the world's largest station wagon. A fold-out map of the Promised Land falls on the ground, but he's happy to leave this family vacation in the dust. "These aren't even my kids. Did I conceive them all? Did I give birth to them?" God is angry, and Moses is livid. Meat? Where am I going to get meat in the middle of a desert? It's one of those moments in Moses' pastoral, or should we say parental, career when he has to pull over the car. He is spent, dried up, running on fumes. In today's world, we have a word for this: burnout. Moses is burnt out. He brings to God his own death wish in a few choice words: "I cannot carry them all alone. They are too heavy for me." Too heavy. Too heavy. Sometimes we have callings that are too heavy to carry. To pastor a church, to abolish slavery, to raise a kid who is not your own. Any of us who has been called by Jesus to a life of faithfulness, no matter what kind of work we do, will find ourselves here. With the best of intentions and all the faith in the world, we try to lift that calling, try to mount that burden. But our knees buckle beneath the weight, and we are stalled. It would be easy for us to walk away. How many of you, right now, could just drop the load and walk away, head for the shore? Tempting, isn't it? But we cannot. It's the most remarkable thing. The burden God gives us is, as artist Sarah Groves puts it, too heavy to carry and impossible to leave. I know a woman, a hero of mine, who is raising her grandson as her own son. She never expected her life would take this turn to be the mom for this long. And some days, it is too much. Some days another journey through puberty is too heavy to even think about. But she could never leave. He is a light in her life. In the burden is the blessing that keeps her close to the heart of God. And Moses has never been this close to the heart of God. The whole journey out here has been a lesson in trust. All through the wilderness, God gifts Israel with manna. It is the bread of heaven, sweet like honey, and for 40 years there is always enough. Like God's faithfulness, the manna never fails. But Israel trades in its trust of God for greed. Israel wants more than enough, judging insufficient what God has deemed sufficient. So they cry out, making their demand meat and lots of it. Moses makes the same mistakes that many of us leaders and people pleasers do. He gives in. It never occurs to Moses to say no to their greedy request. Instead, Moses finds himself in a tizzy, asking God where he can possibly get meat to feed all these people, and throwing his hands up in the air because he cannot carry this any longer. But God never asked Moses to feed the people meat. They didn't need meat in the first place. If there is blessing in the burden, there is also blessing in the burnout. It makes us stop and take off our backpacks and see just what we're carrying in there. While the calling might be a holy one, we often carry things God never asked us to carry in the first place. Moses was not called to carry the sin of Israel's greed. Nor was he expected to deliver meat, as if the station wagon left Egypt packed with Slim Jims and 10,000 coolers of turkey sandwiches. It is so easy to trade the call that God puts on our lives for the demands of people we meet along the way. They ask, and we don't know how to refuse. They pile on expectations, and we spend our lives trying to live up. It is exhausting trying to keep up with everything people want from us. And it's probably not what we signed up for in the first place, but somewhere along the way, we allowed others to dictate our work, and even worse, we allow their evaluations of us to define us. How do we get so bogged down by the demands and expectations of others? I wonder, if we pick up the burdens other people give us, because in a way, they seem more manageable than the call of God. At the end of the day, I like to go home and tell you just exactly what I've accomplished that day. I'd love to tell you that I had this many meetings, or fixed this many faucets, or served this much food to this many people. People generally ask us to do things we can accomplish, and then feel good about checking off our to-do list. And they praise us for our effectiveness and our efficiency. But sometimes we've got to ask ourselves, is this what God requires of me? Or is this just what the people want? Or what I want? There is danger in living for the demands and praise of people, even the people we serve. It's the danger not only of burnout, but of settling for dreams that are too small. Moses and Israel could only think of one thing, meat for tonight. But God dreamed of a whole promised land flowing with milk and honey. The blessing in the burnout is rediscovering that dream, finding out that beneath all that extra weight we carry in our packs, there is still at the bottom of it all, a calling. It is God-given, and it is supposed to be heavy, because it is a piece of God's big dream for the world. God longs for the day when every mouth is fed, when every slave is set free, when every tear is wiped away. Nothing short of that will do. And all of us, living faithfully, are carrying slivers of that heavy dream, walking with God and each other toward freedom. This dream is too big to be accomplished in a day. Sometimes, years may go by without seeing the fruits of your labor. You teach for a whole year to a class full of students who don't even seem to pay attention. You work for years, trying to raise awareness about modern-day slavery, and don't feel it has freed a single person. You may get discouraged and want to pick up smaller, more manageable work. But remember, pleas for instant gratification don't end well in this story. The good things take time. It took Israel 40 years to reach the Promised Land. So when you are at your wit's end, tied up in paperwork and red tape, ready to drop everything and walk away, remember what is at the bottom of it all and where it started. For Moses, it began in Egypt, where God heard the cries of a people in slavery. This wasn't a family vacation. This was a freedom journey. Moses is in the work of deliverance, not deli meat. In times of burnout, a good counselor can help you get your bearings straight. Where did this all begin, Moses? In a small corner of the desert, on a strip of holy ground, when God spoke of freedom and I said yes. I still remember the way my lips were trembling. Were you scared? Of course I was. I tried to say no. I told God I was the wrong guy for the job. It was a load I couldn't carry. What made you change your mind? God promised to go with me, and there was something about that burning bush at my feet. I looked at it and I just... What about the bush, Moses? It was of God. It was unconsumed. It was inexhaustible. What I'm saying is, the bush didn't burn out. Moses may burn out. You and I may burn out, but God will never burn out. There is at the heart of God a fire as inexhaustible as the dream it carries, relentless energy for the pursuit of justice, strength enough to move mountains, a deep wellspring of love for the broken world. In the flickering of that burning bush, Moses met the everlasting God who does not grow weary. And 1,000 miles later, Moses is still learning the same lesson as Israel with its manna. God is sufficient. So whatever load you carry, whatever burden you bear, rest assured that you are not alone. God is here to help shoulder the load. So yoke yourself to God. Hide your life in God. Rest your bones in God. Is there any load Christ has not already borne? Is there any sense in trying to carry the thing yourself? No doubt, Moses succumbs to the loneliness of his office, the aloneness of the call, and it nearly kills him. This is the predicament of many who lead. No one else understands my work, we cry. No one else even sees the burden I carry, let alone lifts a finger to help. That loneliness can be so real. It can extinguish you like a single coal taken from the fire. And sometimes, even the help of God doesn't seem to relate. Sometimes you need a pair of shoulders you can actually brush up against on the street. You need the load shared in baked casseroles, or someone to watch the kids, or arms to cry in, or people to march with. God knows we need these things too. Gather 70 of the elders, says God to Moses. Bring them to the tent of meeting. I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, so that you will not bear the burden of this people all alone. It's God's answer to Moses' resignation wish. 70 people to help him carry the load. And God gives us people to share the load as well. We call it church. We sometimes grumble and bicker in the back seat, but we pull together as church to share our lives and our loads in prayers and tears, casseroles and communion. Our loads are bigger than any of our own lives, but so is our church. For we are also surrounded by the great communion of saints, joined in our work by all the faithful who have come before, Moses and Miriam, Paul and Silas, Oscar Romero and Mother Teresa. Together across the ages and places, there are thousands of us, marching toward that heavenly throne, shouldering together God's big dream for the world. Let us pray. Holy God, who has borne the weight of the world, strengthen us to share your work of love, justice, and mercy. Renew us when we tire. Reignite us when we burn out. In the power of the everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, Bonnie Scott offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Bonnie, thank you for this refreshing sermon. I think I needed to hear it. So many of us listening, I'm sure, can identify with the heaviness that Moses felt. Sometimes we have callings that are too heavy to carry but impossible to leave, you said. And if there is a blessing in the burden, there's also a blessing in the burnout. How might we step back and look at the responsibilities that weigh us down to see them a bit more objectively?
I think it's a great idea to think about all of the hours of your day. What are those hours spent doing? How many of those hours are you spending in prayer? How many of those hours are you spending resting? If you take a look at your schedule for the week, it's a great way to kind of step back and see what's in that backpack of yours.
You reminded us that we may burn out, but God will never burn out. It's hard to realize that truth in the midst of our burnout, though. So how might we remind ourselves to hide ourselves in God, rest our bones in God in those moments of burnout?
I think burnout is great because it reminds us that we cannot do everything, and sometimes we can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those moments of burnout, I would say, be grateful for the opportunity to stop, let others carry it for a while, and depend on God.
And in Moses' case, God responded by having him gather 70 people to help him carry his immense load. You said God gives us people to share the load as well. We call it church. How does that happen in church?
I believe that church is supposed to be a place where we can be upfront and honest with one another about what is going on in our lives. Church is also the place where we gather together to carry out Christ's mission in the world, which is the kingdom of God, love and justice and peace.
What would you say to someone perhaps who isn't involved in church these days, maybe never has been and has preconceptions about what church is, but someone who is feeling this burden, this weight? Can they really find hope?
I would first want to acknowledge all of the ways that this person is already carrying God's big dream for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just want to invite them into a larger group of people who are carrying that same load. And hopefully in that larger community, there's hope enough there.
Bonnie, what's one thing you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week from your sermon?
I hope they'll keep in mind that our burnout is not the end of the story.
Bonnie Scott, thank you for being with us.
It was a pleasure.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever. Now, with a special word, here's the president of the Alliance for Christian Media and Day One host, Peter Wallace.
Day One is the only national platform for the positive, passionate faith of the mainline churches. And we are reaching hundreds of thousands of people around the world via radio, the internet, and today's social media. Day One is your voice. We proclaim your faith. But we need your support to continue. If you appreciate Day One, please consider supporting us. Send a donation to Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia 30308. That's 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia 30308. Or give online at dayone.org. We are grateful for your support.